didn't want to be here, join me in standing. I'll be reading 1 Chronicles 29:11. It says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. All that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, but thou art exalted head above all." Brother Stephen, will you open up?
Amen. Please join us in singing hymn number 162, "To God be the glory, great thanks be unto God." Hymn number 162.
Thank you.
Stand once again. We'll sing hymn number 288, I Am Resolved No Longer to Linger. Hymn number 288, stand as we sing.
Here for the first service in this building. Raise your hand. Okay. So, we had our first service in this building in September 2006. That time, we were $1.5 million. That was so exciting. So exciting. My wife used to say, you know, after it gets past a certain point, it's all just play numbers, you know? Just what does it matter? But I was scared to death. Matter of fact, I had we had a chief financial officer in the church at that time. He took me out to eat, and he goes, Something seems to be bothering you, Pastor. And I said, yeah, it's $1.5 million in debt. He goes, what's the worst that can happen? And I started to cry. And I said, we could lose it all. He goes, is that really so bad if that's what God wants? I walked out of that meeting going, yeah, God, yours, all yours. So on Wednesday this week, our debt went to $299,815. Praise his name. Praise his name. And that has happened because of faithful giving like we're getting ready to take right now. We've never had anyone drop $100,000. And, you know, in the last 15 years, we've had a millionaire in our church every year. But it's not because millionaires have dropped in hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's because you're faithful every week to give your tithes and your offering. And so for me, because we give every week of what God has given us, I'm like, you know, just like super excited because this is a culmination of what happens when you're faithful to give. You know, the bills get paid. The work of the Lord continues on. And hallelujah, the future's bright at Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple. We've only got $300,000. We get that paid off? Yeah. We get that paid off, it'd be about time for me to retire in the French Riviera or someplace. I don't know. But I'm so excited. Just had to share it with you. I knew you'd be excited also. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I love you. I just want to stop and praise your name. You are an awesome God. You are greatly. You do so many things for us, from the small things each and every day that we take for granted, we don't even stop to think about. Just waking up healthy, waking up with good water to drink, good air to breathe, food to eat. God, you are so good. As a church body, you've given us a beautiful facility to worship in. And God, there's been some scary times, but we've just always turned back to you, and you have always been faithful. Thank you for being here. Thank you for always meeting. Lord, you're such an awesome. Thank you for loving us. So insignificant. Tend to think maybe more highly of ourselves than God. God, we just stop and praise you. Thank you that you loved us, willing to send your son to the cross of Calvary that heaven might be our eternal home. Thank you for the way you supply for us on a regular basis. Thank you for an opportunity to give back of that you give us to, as a reminder that we are not God of our own future, but you are God and you deserve to be recognized through our tithes and our offering. God, thank you. Lord, take this offering and bless it as you have all these years and continue to use it for your glory, that you would be exalted and lifted up, that a lost and dying nation might hear about Jesus. Because there's still a church on top of a hill. Because there's still missionaries going around the world. And there's still people that love you, trust you, abide by your word, give of their offering and their tithes, that the word of Christ might continue to reach. Thank you, Lord. Love you so much. We ask these things in your blessed name. May be seated.
Stand once again. We'll sing hymn number 169. Come thou fountain of blessings.
So long you were right. When I was wrong, I can't repay all the love you've given me. You were my friend when no one cared. I was alone, but you were there, Lord, you're best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life, make it what you'd have it be. I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Borrowed treasures, borrowed dreams, all life's joys you've given me. When trouble comes, you're always there to make me smile. So come what may, I will be done. I love you, Jesus, God's only Son. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life, make it what you'd have it be. I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Well, amen. You would take your Bibles, turn to Psalms 31. By the way, my name's Kevin Metzinger. It has been a few weeks, and I do want to say thank you to the church for being so understanding. I didn't realize as we were going through what we went through, how it was going to take a toll on me personally, and I had one of our church members reach out to me and said, you know, we had an event like this happen at a church I was in Oregon. We asked a guy to come fill the pulpit the Sunday following, and I'm so glad that we did that, and I'm so glad the way that it's all spaced out. I apologize. I know I feel the weight of being in this pulpit, and I don't take it lightly. That's my responsibility to fill it or see that it's filled, but I do appreciate the fact that we were given grace to spend some time to just work on us a little bit. And I thank you for your prayers and for your love. And I'm just thankful that Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple is our church. And that's you. It's not the building. It's you. And I love you very much. Psalms 31. If you found that and you can, stand with me. We're going to read two verses. They're at the end of Psalms 31. In verse number 23, we begin reading. O love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. I guess I kind of like titles, and so I entitled this, Oh, Love God More. My second title was Sandwich of Love. We'll share that with you in just a minute. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I love you, and I thank you so much for your great love for us. I was reminded this morning through an incident that came my way. I was reminded of where I'd be if it wasn't for your great love. I would be in a life bound with drinking, drugs, promiscuity. God, I just want to thank you. That's not where I'm at. I thank you for the fact that you have whosoever
shall call upon you shall be saved. God, thank you. I could be a whosoever. Thank you for your saving grace. Thank you for your word to help encourage us in our walk with you and our love for you. God, I pray that you would speak to us today. Your Holy Spirit would have power and freedom to move up and down these chairs and move in our hearts, move in our lives. Lord, I don't want to leave the way I came. I want you to have spoken to me and ministered to me. And I think that's the desire of each and every one that's here. We don't want to play church today. We're here to hear from you. And God, we pray that you would speak to us and minister to our hearts. Lord, if there be one that's lost today, our prayer is that today they might come to that saving knowledge of Jesus. We love you and we thank you for our time together this morning. We ask these things in your blessed and most holy name. And all the people said, amen, you may be seated. So as I read this portion of Scripture, I knew I wanted to preach it. But then as I read it and I read it and I read it, I thought, well, it's kind of awkward to me. It's kind of awkward how it fits because we start off with this great phrase, oh, love the Lord. And of course, our theme is love God more. That's what attracted me to this portion of Scripture. And so, oh, love the Lord. And we all ought to love the Lord. If you're saved and you know it, you ought to love God. It ought to be evident in your life. And we can never love him too much, okay? So love the Lord, all ye his saints. And then we come to the last phrase, and it says, all ye that hope in the Lord. And I thought, well, you know, it's kind of how this thing's flowing through. It kind of makes sense that this is kind of a beginning and an end. It's kind of a sandwich. My wife says sometimes I think about food too much. But anyhow, I kind of thought of it as a sandwich, and I like a good sandwich. I mean, there's all kinds of sandwiches, aren't there? There's sandwiches like peanut butter and jelly. I'm not a fan. There's that chicken salad sandwich that Miss Alice makes. My wife loves that. She'll eat it on lettuce. She'll eat it just straight out of the bowl. I mean, she just loves that stuff. We had egg sandwiches and all types of sandwiches. But I'm just kind of a plain guy. You probably figured that out. There's just something about a bologna sandwich, okay? I grew up eating bologna. I mean, you might say I'm full of bologna. I don't know. But I kind of like a bologna sandwich. Matter of fact, we'll go to Subway, and when we get to Subway, she's getting all this teriyaki, whatever, hooky-cooky, chicken stuff, and warm this, don't warm that, and I'm just like, yeah, I'll take a cold-cut combo, double the meat, put some mayonnaise on it and some tomato, I'm good. I'm ready to go. You know, that's just me. That's my sandwich. So you have whatever sandwich you want, okay? But I'm preaching today, okay? And I like good bread around my sandwich. Amen? I like it when you open the bread and it's like still real squishy. And I like white bread. I don't need all those seeds in my bread. I hope they refined my bread. I'm going to get us all hungry before we get there. So I like the white bread. I like to open it, and it smells fresh, and it's squishy, and I pull that out. And so our first piece of bread today is, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. All ye his saints. So this is a great way to start our sandwich for the Lord, that we ought to love him. And I like that, I kind of hung me up a little bit, the oh, why does it say oh, love the Lord, and why is it just the letter O and not like O-A, but I'm not the English guy, so I went to Webster's, and Webster says this about just the O. It is often used as an exclamation expressing a wish. So David's wish or excitement or exclamation for us today is that we might love the Lord. Yes. And we might be excited about it. Amen? We ought to be excited about loving him. Just think. So this morning, I, as I prayed, I was mindful. I had a thing this morning that happened, and it involved some people that they're not Christians. They don't know God. And I'm thinking about, I've got friends like that, and maybe even some family members like that, that they don't know God. And it doesn't take me very long to look back through my lineage and look back through my life and go, I know where I'd be without Jesus. I'd be right in the middle of that junk. I'd be right in the middle of it. And so when I think about that, I think about where my life is. And of course, now it's starting to look like it's getting closer to the end of my life. I look back and I go, thank you, God. Thank you. I love you because you love me. I love you because all that you've done for me. I love you because you called me into service. I love you that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and died. I love you because you gave me a great church to go and worship you in. God, I love you for the great wife you gave me. God, I love you for the family you gave me. God, I love you that I'm in Shawnee. God, I love you that I get to live in the house that I get to live in. God, I love you, and just on and on and on. I ought to love him. I ought to express that to him every day. Every day I cannot express to him how much I love him. Now, you know, my wonderful wife sits up here and she gets used in all kinds of illustrations, all that kind of stuff. But I love this woman. Now, I'm the emotional side of the Metzinger household. I know it's hard to believe. But there's just times that I'll go, I love you. And she tells me she loves me. And that makes me want to say it again. I love you. And sometimes I get to where I've said I love you so much that I'm thinking, he thinks I'm a dork. And I'll even say, I know you're probably getting tired of hearing me say this, but I love you. Because I do. And that's my makeup. That's who I am. I'm an emotional person. Now she, anyhow, we're not preaching about her. We're preaching about, but listen, for us emotional people, when we talk about loving God, it ought to be like, choir, man, what a song. Hallelujah, I'm saved. I have no problem raising my hand and thanking God for where I'm at. Amen? I'm so glad he died on a cross for me. Remember, I know where I'd be. Maybe you'd do some of you good just to stop and think about where you could be. Think about some of the people you've gone to school with or some of the people you know are just, well, no, don't go into a bar and look there. But I mean, just think about where you could be without Jesus Christ. God's so good to us. We have so much to praise him for. And he says right here that we ought to love him. Love the Lord with excitement. Love the Lord with all that we have. And notice he said there, all ye his saints. How many saints do we have here today? You know that you're saved and on your way to heaven, you qualify as a saint. Now, if you're in another religious group, you have to work your way there, hope you're good enough to get there, and then when you die, you got to have people that are promoting you and praying for you and giving more money for you so that you can get there. But hey, praise God that that's not the Bible way, amen? I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm a whosoever, and I became a saint the moment I got saved. But you know what that means? There's like good saints and not so good saints. There's some people all sold out to God. Man, I'm so excited. God, I love you. I want to serve you. Thank you for what you've done to me. And then there's some saints that are kind of like, I'll be glad when he's done. I'm about ready to go. I hope that roast doesn't overcook. I want to make sure we're the first to get in line down at that restaurant today, okay? I wish he'd hurry up. And then there's some that just don't show. And there's some that think, well, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to read the Bible. I don't need to pray. So we got all kinds of saints, don't we? But saints, if you're truly saved, born-again saint, you ought to love God. You ought to love him to the point that you express that love, that you tell him, God, thank you for loving me. I love you so much. Thank you for caring for me. Thank you for all you've done for me. Now let's move to the inside of the sandwich, okay? I called it the goodies. The goodies. I love this. I think this would be my piece of bologna. For the Lord preserveth the faithful. Hallelujah, man. If you're having a steak sandwich, this is your steak, okay? This is the meat. This is the substance, okay? The fact that God loveth the faithful. I'm a faithful. I want to be faithful. I'm working on being faithful. I'm working on putting Him first in my life. I want to serve Him with all that I have. I want to be faithful. And says that the Lord preserveth the faithful. That means if I'm willing to try to be faithful, He's going to help preserve me. Oh, man. I haven't talked about it for a little while, but I grew up on a concentration camp just 3 miles down the road here. My mom was the head warden. We had a garden like 20 times the size of this building. I may exaggerate just a little bit. But when you're 8 and 9 years old and you'd rather be inside watching cartoons, which, by the way, our kids right here don't understand because they got little gaming things and all that. We had just a black and white TV set. And we had to work at our household. The commandant would get us up like at 7 o'clock in the morning. She would feed us breakfast. Oh, my goodness. What kind of place were you raised at? And there would be times during the day she would come through and she'd go, "You boys need to get outside and blow the stink off." But she would come in the summer. And I'd be thinking, I'm out of school. I need to cruise, just take it, chill, you know, chill, Mom. I need to chill. She'd come in, get us to the table, feed us. And then she'd put implements of work in our hands. And she would send us to the garden, you know, like hoes. Of course, me and my brother learned how to fight with hoes. We'd have to hoe the weeds. And by the way, don't hoe the lettuce while you're hoeing the weeds. We learned the importance of picking green beans. Listen, you know what kids need today? They need a few more gardens and a lot less toys. A lot less TV. Just put them in a garden. Pick green beans. Oh, my goodness. We'd get the green beans picked. We'd get the peas picked. And you're like, oh, man. You know, it's like a full 70 degrees outside, and you're sweating up a storm. And sometimes the Kansas sun, it'd get to be 90. I remember being out there when it was 90. We're doing all these things. And then you'd think, oh, we're done. Good. We'd go in the house. And Mom had fixed us lunch, and we were expected to eat what Mom fixed. She didn't ask you what you wanted. You didn't go to the cabinet and pick what you wanted because money was tight. And so you ate what Mom made, like a bologna sandwich. No, you think I'm teasing. Every week for Sunday, we either had roast or chicken. I had a lot of roast and a lot of chicken. I really don't care to eat too much of either one anymore. Thank you, brother. Amen. So he'd think, oh, this is great. And so Mom would feed us lunch. We'd have to take a nap. Well, that's great because I've just worked all this time and nap is good. And we'd lay down for about an hour, hour and a half. And it's like time to get up. And we'd wash the green beans, or we'd wash the peas, and then we would snap green beans, or we would hold peas until they were all taken care of. I'm like, I don't know who invented that garden thing, but I hate it. Then my mom, we didn't grow strawberries, but she would always find some place to go get strawberries. Praise God for those places. We get, I don't know, like 3 or 4 crates of strawberries and bring them home. I still love eating strawberries. I just hated the work to get to the point where we could eat them. You know, you have to cut the tops off. You have to look for bad spots, cut those off. You have to wash them. And then Mama would make preserves, which in the winter, when I'm eating my forced breakfast before I got on the forced bus to go to the forced school that I went to, to get some strawberry preserves, spread that over the bread. Now, I'm telling you, that was living right there. So it says that God preserves the faithful. He preserveth the faithful. I always liked it when we had the preserves come winter because I could look at that bottle, I could see the sweat running down my brow to get to it. Amen? It was awesome. So that's our meat, or whatever it is that you want in the middle of your sandwich, lettuce or whatever. It implies that there are some who are not faithful. There are some who are not faithful. And so the next thing has struck me funny the whole time. And all I can liken it to is like pickles or onions. I don't know if you like pickles or onions in your sandwich. I don't care for those things at all. They're kind of, you know, you get the wrong onion, it's too tart, you know, and that makes your breath stink and all that kind of stuff. But it says, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Now, we're talking about saints, aren't we? So this tells us that there are some saints that are proud doers. Uh-oh. Pride's not a good thing, is it? Pride is not a good thing. But God says, I'm going to plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. So you might be sitting here thinking, well, you know, I'm look at what God got when he got me. You know, I can sing so much better than everybody else. I take that offering better than anyone else. I could preach better than that preacher preaches. I can do this. I can do that. It just, look, God really got something when God got me. And my service just adds so much to the church. The church doesn't realize what they have in me and what a blessing I am to the church. Yeah, just remember that God is going to bless plentifully the proud doer. My good friend Mr. Gill writes this. He says, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer, such as all self-righteous persons are. Oops. Oh, we're talking about that kind of a proud doer. Yeah, and he goes on, he says, and all that speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the truly righteous. Okay, now you know what that tells me? That in the church, that there are some that look at others who maybe are trying to strive to righteously live for God, and they mock them, or they would criticize them. That, you know, a church is made up of unity and love one for another, and that the spirit of destruction is, as is mentioned in the Bible, there are six things that I hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him, and the last one is, the he that soweth discord among the brethren, God hates it. Hates it. But it happens, doesn't it? Who bear hard upon them and oppress them, and such as even Antichrist and his party, who exalts himself above all that is called God. But in what those deal proudly, God is above them and more than a match for them. Thank you. I love that phrase. Listen, if someone's like proud and they're putting you down, it's okay. God's their match. You don't have to defend yourself. God's got it. God take care of it. I'd much rather it be dealt with in a physical realm than in the spiritual realm where God says, I got this. You don't worry about it. What God is saying to the faithful is you just continue on and you serve God. And to the proud, he's saying, I got you. I know who you are. I've got something for you. You just keep right on, faithful. You keep right on righteously living for me, righteously serving me. You just be faithful. And God says, I got this. I like that. I don't know about you. I get excited about that. I guess you don't. But in those who deal proudly, God is above them and more than a match for them, and he sets himself against them. Uh-oh. He resists them and will reward them according to their works. That comes out of the book of James, by the way. So we can have proud saints, but God's saying there's no room for that. We need to forsake that proudness, and we need to submit to walk with God. Another important ingredient in the sandwich is be of good courage. Oh, I love this. Be of good courage. We live in a day and age of fear, don't we? Did you watch the news yesterday? What happened yesterday? Drones into Israel. Oh, my goodness. What's going to happen? It's okay. God's got this. We don't have to worry about it. We know it's God. God's got a plan, right? Have you been to the end of the book? If you haven't been to the end of the book, you ought to go read Revelations. Okay? God's got it. God wins. We who are saints of God, we're going to end up in heaven for all of eternity. The ungodly will be judged at the great white throne judgment. They'll spend an eternity separated in a lake of fire forever and ever and ever. God's got it. Don't worry about it. Be of good courage. Don't go, well, I'm going to build me a shelter and I'm going to go live in the ground. They were talking about this with the eclipse, weren't they? They had talked about that previously at Y2K too. Well, you need to build a bunker and you need to cash out all the money that you got. And you need to have all this money and you need to have bullets and you need to have guns and you need to have, listen, don't live in fear. Be of good courage. It's just like I looked at that $1.5 million debt and I'm like, and then Brother Rod told me, he said, it's okay, preacher. God's got this. God knows. We need to be mindful that God does not want his children to live in a spirit of fear. We have nothing to fear. I mean, think about it. What's the worst thing that can happen to you? Oh, I get to go to heaven. Oh, that would be horrible. Because I'm not ready. I'd rather endure a lot more of the junk down here than go up there. You're a weirdo. Okay? I've got my ticket shined and ready to go. Call me. I'm ready to go. I'll move to the front line. You say, well, what about your wife? Well, she can make her own decision. I'm just telling you, the emotional, excited one in the family say, I'll go. Be of good courage. We have nothing to fear. We know who's in charge of the world, right? Because he's the prince of the power of the air. But remember who he answers to. He's going to answer to God. Jesus is in charge of my life. I want Jesus to order my steps. I want him to lead me. I want him to guide me. I want to live my life to please him because I'm more worried about eternity than I am tomorrow here upon this earth. Another thing to add to that sandwich, and he shall strengthen your heart. Now, he's not talking about the physical heart in here. He's talking about the emotional heart in here. He'll strengthen us. How does he strengthen us? Man, our Sunday school class strengthened me, Brother Steve. Thank you. Going to Peter, I'd forgot that verse. Oh, man, what a verse. You should have been here. What you get for not being here? It was awesome. God's word ought to strengthen our heart. Daily we need to be in his word. Daily we need to be on our knees in his presence praying and saying, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going on in this world, but God, I trust you. Take care of it. It's all in your hands. Then we think about this, the last piece of bread. Because a good sandwich is nothing without something on the backside. All ye that hope in the Lord. All ye that hope in the Lord. What are you hoping in? What are you hoping in? My hope's in the Lord. My hope's not in my retirement account. I'm glad I've got one. But it's not my hope. They say I've got some Social Security. I'm kind of waiting to get the 6610 before I draw that. But my hope's not in that because that's a pretty low number when you consider my hope's not in that. But my hope is in the Lord. I'm thankful for all the stuff that God's brought into my life. Thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ. But my hope is in him. I recently picked up a track. I was doing missions conference down in Lebanon, Missouri, and picked up a track off their table. They have a recovery from addictions type program where they help alcoholics and drug addicts and things like that. And they had this track sitting on the back table, and they dealt with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And if you've been involved in those kind of things, you understand it's very real, and it's very damaging to those that are affected by it. This man has given testimony about having been in war, and he's come back. He wrote this track. He said he come back. He was going to all their approved counseling stuff and all that. And one night he stepped into an RU program. And when he did, a guy handed him a book. And in the front of the book was a verse. And he said that verse changed his life when he realized that it wasn't about a what, it was about a who. It wasn't about a church. It wasn't about religion. It was about who, which is Jesus Christ. Our focus cannot be on the what, okay? Our focus needs to be on the who. And the who is Jesus Christ. The who is his Father, the Lord of Lords. I get excited when I say that. The Lord of Lords. You know why? Because I'm on the winning side. And I love to win. Don't I, Alexa? And I get prideful. Shame on me. But I get prideful when I win. Like, yeah, I won. That's right. And I'm a winner. Because he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And he's my daddy. My daddy. And I can cry out, Abba, Father. And I come boldly to the throne of grace. I don't slink in. I don't sneak in. I come in and I say, God, I'm a mess. I got to talk to you about some stuff. Isn't that a blessing? I had a good dad, but I got a great dad when I got saved. I got a daddy that let me come to him with all the junk of my life and pour it out to him. And he's there to listen and to hear and to help me heal through the difficult times. And that's your daddy if you know Jesus as Savior. Listen, if you're not saved today, you need this sandwich. Oh, and by the way, if you are saved, you need this sandwich. First of all, you need to be checking, what kind of saint am I? Because all saints should be applying all this stuff to their life. Because it says all saints, not some of y'all, but all y'all. If you're a saint, you ought to be doing this. Why? Just think about it. Because he loves you. I ain't never been loved the way that Jesus. He can bring the peace in the darkest and hardest time. Because I know he loves me. He loves me too much to hurt me. He loves me so much he'll protect me. He loves me so much he'll help me through the hard things I've got to walk through. And then he'll help me help others as they walk through. Lord Jesus, I love you. Unashamedly, I love you. I don't deserve to love you, but I love you because you first loved me. I love you because you forgave me of my sin. I loved you because you placed me on a rock out of the miry clay. I just want to thank you. I want to praise you. God, I pray that each and every saint in here today would have to say, oh yes, Lord, I love you. Oh yes, Lord, I want these things in my life. I don't want to be a proud doer. I want to walk with you. I want to serve you. I want to be of good courage. I want fear not to have any dominion in my life. I just want to serve you to help reach others for the cause of Christ. Thank you for your great love for us. Use the invitation for your glory. We ask it in your precious name. Amen. Would you stand with me? I've decided to follow Jesus. If God's spoken to your heart, the altar's open. Encourage you to come. whatever your need, would you come today?
I have decided to follow.
House today. We have Brother Jett's going to speak for us this afternoon. They've been here doing some counseling this week, and I appreciate that so much. And Brother Jett's become a good friend. He teaches at Heartland, and so some of our people who've been to Heartland probably encountered Brother Jett. As a matter of fact, Jared Foster's in his class right now, and so you might bribe him, okay, so that Jared gets a good grade. But anyhow, I do appreciate the Jets and their ministry, their love for God. This is a big year for them. They're actually retiring. Heartland's been there 26 years, and you've been there all 26, is that right? And so they're going to retire this year in May at the graduation service. They're going to travel the summer with a singing group. They get the girls' trio, and he's got a couple of granddaughters that sing on it. So that doesn't sound like hard work at all, right? That'd be awesome. Especially if you can keep them from fighting. I just kind of know how, you know. Anyhow, but he's going to have a great time. Just pray for him as they start this new ministry that God has for him. And looking forward to having him preach. I just couldn't have him here without having him preach. And so that'll be this afternoon. Looking forward to that. There needs to be a ladies' retreat meeting. So ladies going to the retreat this Friday, Saturday, you need to meet right over here as soon as we say amen. Please hurry, be quick, meet right down front on this side. And then following the service this afternoon, we'll have a camp meeting, same location, but this time it'll be if you have someone going to camp, got forms, some things like that you need information about. And so that'll be this afternoon. Next Sunday, we have Brother Greg Wagner, and I schedule him a year out each time he's here. So I haven't been loading up the schedule so I didn't have to preach. But next Sunday's Brother Greg Wagner, then I'll preach, and then we have a missionary the next week. And then you're stuck with me like all summer long. So don't want to take a vacation, do you? I want to be in church so I can hear my preacher preach. Oh, yeah, I do have that week of vacation at camp, but I will be in church service here. By the way, speaking of camp, I get the opportunity to preach to the kids this year, and I'm super excited about it. I love teenagers. I want to share with them hope. God's given us opportunity through the years to affect a lot of different teenagers' lives for the good of Christ. And so pray for camp. Pray for those messages that I'll be preaching that God will use them for his glory. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, I love you today. My heart's full. I'm thankful that you love us. God, I want to love you as best as a humble human can do. God, I want to love you. I want to exalt you in my life. I want you to be my number one. God, I think all saints should desire to sing. I pray that you'd help us draw closer to you. None of us are perfect. All of us fail. God, help us to seek to draw closer to you. And with your help, we know that we can be victorious at doing so. Thank you for our time together this morning. Work in our lives this week and use us for your glory. We love you. We love one another. And we ask your blessings upon all we do today. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Ladies need to meet right here.